Hello, Heels.
Gentlemen, how are we doing?
Great.
City recovered?
Did you stiff us last week? I can't remember.
No, we had a small emergency at Hockey Night in Canada.
So you stiffed us?
I do kind of have to take care of the
Wait a sec. Did you make a commitment to join us on the program? Yes.
I did. I apologize.
And by the way,
I think Jim Houston jumped in my stead.
You owe Houston dinner.
And that's an upgrade over me. So
huge upgrade.
You still owe him dinner.
I'm actually a little disappointed you're on this week.
Oh, I apologize. I'll do my best.
Because I could have called Huey again. No, you know, we say that in jest. We understand things come up.
Yeah.
Things happen, you know. Your bagpipes get in a knot and you got to untangle them before the game. That happens. So I thought the Senators and the Penguins last night was fundamentally uneventful, is what I really thought. I'm trying to figure out, like, what's the sell point? What should we be talking about? Where should we be focused? Without getting into the minutia of the game, and you know I hate that stuff. But I haven't got a topic on it. I mean, what did you see? What did you think? What did it tell you? Anything?
Well, you got to remember, we're coming off of one of the worst collapses in the history of hockey the night before.
No, the worst.
The worst.
Yeah.
We're coming off an audience of somewhere near 10 million where it spiked.
Yeah.
That were glued on watching this Leaf team maybe get a chance to play the Rangers with home ice in the second round.
Yeah.
And the city and the country, probably. You saw the power of Leaf Nation. I mean, that was the pictures at Maple Leaf Square were phenomenal. And then you jump into the next series, and it's never going to match up to what we just witnessed over the. And remember, the Leaf game back to back.
No, but the emotion.
But even as a standalone event, I just didn't think there was much of a storyline in. I mean, there could have been, but it just didn't. Nothing really evolved. You know, Senators kind of played okay, had a couple opportunities, didn't cash in. Penguins were. I didn't think they were great, but they were good enough. And when the dust settles, it's a pretty comfortable Penguin victory. But I don't know what it means going forward.
Totally in a nutshell, that's what we saw right from ice level.
Thank you.
You're right. You know, the Penguins, you're right, didn't play well, and still found a way to make it look easy. Malkin, I thought, had a terrible night. I mean, he looked like he was totally uninterested, and he ends up with a couple points. You know, your Sidney Crosby is one of the few nights that I've seen where he hasn't just thoroughly dominated. Didn't play the last 5 minutes of the game.
Yeah.
No, we're good enough. We got enough to win. Have a seat. Enjoy yourself.
Shannon wants to get in here, but you mentioned Sid, and I think Huey might have mentioned it during the game too. It almost looked like Sidney was in almost slow motion, like almost looking very cautious last night. Did you see that, or was I imagining it?
No, I think we had a great little highlight of him on ISO where, you know, he spent about 20 seconds of a shift and he didn't even take a stride.
Right.
You know, just kind of a couple little C cuts and some turns and then went off. You know, I thought when, you know, he started the game, it was pretty strong, good pace, and I think Iginla was taking him down. You know, he couldn't keep up. And it wasn't until the start of the third period that they finally had enough and then put Kunitz back on the line with Dupuis. And Kunitz was one of the stars of the hockey game. So I think, you know, that does happen every once in a while where it's kind of, you know, two forwards against five guys defending, and it becomes a frustrating night. And clearly he was, past the first 10 minutes, a frustrated player.
But this also, and I don't blame you for not seeing it, although you did sit in the studio a few of the nights, this was certainly not the Ottawa Senators we saw against Montreal either, though, Glenn. I mean, forget about the Penguins. The Senators were not the same team. Erik Karlsson looked really tired to me last night.
Well, it's a different series, Johnny. You know, you can't commit the felonies that you committed against Montreal and know that Montreal's got Desharnais and Plekanec and a bunch of guys that didn't score a single goal in the series. You're now trying to play the same way against a team that can absolutely ram it down your throat, and they have the experience, the skill. You know, there isn't a thing missing. So it is a much different series. I didn't mind Ottawa's game. Like, I thought they moved the puck well through mid-ice. I thought they jammed up Pittsburgh and frustrated them. But it just lacked that panache. It lacked the big hits. It lacked the scrums after what we saw in Montreal. It didn't have any luster. There's no sparkle on this game at all.
So here's what I take away from it. Both teams can play better, without question. But I'm positive Pittsburgh has at least one more gear, probably two or three more gears. And I know it's dangerous to make any analysis after one game. I had a hard time watching last night and thinking and seeing the Ottawa Senators making a series out of this, with due respect. And I, at the beginning of this series, I thought, you know what? I'm not sure about Vokoun. I'm not sure. You know, Anderson is playing so well. Maybe he can stone Pittsburgh. They might be able to stick into this thing and pull out a few victories, and who knows, maybe even upset them. I have no such confidence tonight.
Well, I agree with you. It's all up to Anderson. And, you know, Pittsburgh's just got too much firepower. But the first seven shots, they had six scoring chances. It could have been, they could have had four goals in the first seven shots if it wasn't for Anderson.
Yeah.
So he can pull it out. But the road gets a lot harder if you're the only one on the bus. He needs some people to jump on the bus with him. And it can't be 13 shifts that Cassian and Neil played in the first two periods, because they're not going to help you, not offensively. And I don't think Pittsburgh's going to get dragged into one of those games where they're going to take reckless penalties. But you have to play so cautious against Pittsburgh. Their power play in the modern day is about as good as you're going to get. You could compare that power play to, you know, some of the Oiler teams,
right,
some of the Pittsburgh teams of the 90s. That's how much skill they have the ability to put on the ice.
So the second game last night was Los Angeles, San Jose. The Kings are starting to look like we thought they would. I think a lot of people thought they would, and they're as physical as they ever can be. But our friend Rafi Torres was at it again last night. I don't know if whether you saw it, but your opinion and thoughts.
I did, yeah.
And he'll be in New York for an in-person hearing tomorrow, which means the league can levy even a greater suspension than five games.
Well, I heard he actually wasn't going to go.
Yeah, he's going now.
Okay, well, that would be a smart thing for him to do, because player to player, it's very difficult for someone to whack a big suspension on you when you're 6 feet away and facing him. And you can actually make your case that, you know, you did it because of this. You know, the issue we have is when they came up with Rule 48 last year, and the players agreed to it as part of the competition committee. You know, dinosaurs like, say, me and you, Johnny,
yeah. We
have to change the way we think of these hits. We used to look at these hits in the 80s and 90s and say, that's a Scott Stevens-like hit. That's the kind of hit we need in the game. Okay, yeah, you want to have hits in the game, but not hits like that. We've agreed now that you stay away from that 6 inches above your shoulder. And that's what Torres has to do. And if he can't figure it out and do it, then Brendan Shanahan is going to take his ability to play out of the game.
But I'm not.
I support it.
I don't disagree with you, Glenn, but there is still major disagreement amongst the 30 clubs. I mean, you listened to Todd McClellan last night. He didn't even think it was a minor penalty.
See, but that's the issue. You know, he played when that hit was you know, that was a good hit. You know, I played when that was a good hit. I played against Scott Stevens when he changed the series when I was at the Toronto Maple Leafs by hitting people.
Yeah.
Now, in today's game, because the players voted on it last year and the GMs voted as well and the Board of Governors put the final stamp on it, that hit cannot be in our game, regardless of what dinosaurs like me, you, or McClellan think.
Okay, here's Torres. I mean, you talk about McClellan's reaction, and that's Sharks coach Todd McClellan, but here's Torres's quote after the game. To be honest with you, I didn't even think there was going to be a penalty. They called it charging, but I don't think I launched myself. I took a step and a half and glided into him. Obviously, he was leaning over. I still feel like I got shoulder to his shoulder, and then it looked, because he was leaning over, that I came up a little high. I hope he's all right, unquote.
Now, was that his quotes after the Hossa hit, or is that his quotes after this hit?
That's this one.
They seem a lot the same.
Well,
I don't think he called Marion. I don't think he called Marion. He did call Jarrett last night. So.
You know, when you're the star actor of a play over and over, and it's woe is me over and over, you know, I'm not buying it, okay?
No, I get it.
The finishing of the hit, just stay away from a guy's squash, because I don't like to see players eating out of a straw in a hospital.
Well, the impact on the game was negligible, if at all, I guess. The game was won by the way the Los Angeles Kings like to win hockey games, playing good defense, getting good goaltending, low scoring, and some banging.
I do think that it does change the character, and Glenn, you may disagree, character of the series, though. I think it puts the Sharks back on their heels, because Torres had been a factor legally in the Vancouver series, and was playing a good role for this club. I agree. I mean, we said last night on our show on Sportsnet that there should be a suspension. So for me, I do think it changes the personality of the San Jose Sharks, and that will change the personality of the series.
Let me ask both of you guys this question. If it's anybody but Rafi Torres that delivers the hit, are you less sure it should be a suspension?
Well, I mean, if you ask Eric Greiba, you ask Jason Abdicator, or Justin Abdicator in Detroit, those are situations that were question marks as well, and they were suspensions within 24 hours. I guess we shouldn't be surprised that should be a suspension, whether it was Torres or not. I don't know what you think, Glenn.
What do you think?
Well, I certainly think that because it's Torres, you have a reputation of being a hit-to-hurt type player, and they are more aware of each of your hits because you do it more often. You know, when I was at the Players Association and I would look at the concussion video that you would have at the end of each year and you'd see all 80 concussions, there were a number of players that were in my screen too many times. And Matt Cook was one of them at the time. Mm-hmm. And he's changed the way he plays. But, you know, yeah, it's the same set of rules for, you know, any hits of that kind of nature. But the fact that it's Torres means that he's probably going to get whacked a lot harder. And the fact that they bring him in, they bring his agent in, they bring the general manager into New York, and that's a long way to come to go for a meeting, tells me they're not about to have lunch. This is going to be a significant suspension.
No, I think you're right there. I don't think anybody's arguing that point. Hawks and the Red Wings. This is a rivalry game. It has been talked about, the fact that Detroit Red Wings will come to the Eastern Conference next year. So the only way they'll meet the Chicago Blackhawks in future Stanley Cup playoff competition will be in the Stanley Cup final. And some are chagrined about that. Although I don't think the Red Wings are overly chagrined. Their priority was to get back to the East and not have to do all the traveling that they've been doing.
Agreed.
Under normal circumstances, this rivalry would be important. And the fact that these two teams should hate each other and the play should be reflected in it. It's just hard for me to see this Detroit team, and maybe you disagree, being good enough to put up much of a fight against the Chicago Blackhawks.
I'm in full agreement. I think it was hard enough for Detroit just to get to the dance.
Yeah.
It took everything in their power to make the playoffs. And you know, when you go up against a team like Chicago now, with the skill level they have, they're four lines deep, their defense are as good as anybody. You know, the only question mark we always have is Corey Crawford. Is he good enough? I don't think he needs to be good enough in this round. I think that they're just a better team. I watched the games against Minnesota, and it was like the Harlem Globetrotters against the Washington Generals. It wasn't close. Even though the scores indicated it, the play was clearly in Chicago's favor, and I don't think this is going to be a long series.
You don't think that Datsyuk and Zetterberg can extend it a bit?
No. They're good, and rightly so, world-class players.
They might be the best. Datsyuk may be the best player in the series.
And I still don't think he has enough weaponry to line up against the F-16s, the missiles, the tanks, the infantry. They've got it all.
Chicago goes 4-0 in the regular season, but it was 1-7-1 win, and the rest of them were
close.
Either overtime or shootouts.
Yeah.
So I don't know what that means. Probably not much of anything. I think the bigger factor is, as Glenn said, this has got to be a Detroit Red Wing team that's got to be running on fumes right now. Now, maybe you can keep it going, but it just seems to me that the opposition is too tough. Against somebody else, maybe, but not against these guys. Quick series?
There will be a point in this series where the will to win will be taken away from Detroit. I don't know when that's coming,
yeah,
but it's going to be pretty quick in the series where Detroit's going to realize we don't match up enough and we don't have Lidstrom. That's always the X factor when you played any playoff series. You had a defenseman who could play mistake-free for 40 minutes. They don't have that guy anymore.
Tougher for me to figure out is Boston and New York. What do you make of it?
Well, I think New York is rolling right now. And Boston, when I watched their series against the Leafs, you know, everyone talks about the last 11 minutes of the Leaf game was a Coles Notes version of that Leaf team we saw all year. Well, I would argue the last 11 minutes of that Boston-Toronto series and the last game was a microcosm and a Coles Notes version of a Boston season, which was so inconsistent.
Right.
1 minute, you look like they're going to win the Stanley Cup, and the next minute, I don't think they could win the Turner Cup. So You know, I think they're too inconsistent in Boston. The Seidenberg injury hurts them. They've got too much youth now on defense, on their back end. Chara's played too many minutes in the first round. And I like the fact that New York's coming into it with their best player, playing as good as he's played in a year, and that's Lundqvist.
Yeah, they really only need one goal a game right now, don't they?
It's incredible. And I know Ovechkin spouted off, and he's wrong to do it and should get fined. But, you know, the issue in that series was not the referees. The issue is the fact they couldn't get an answer for Lundqvist. And the save he made in Game 6 and the way he played in Game 7, he's world-class now. And, you know, when you have the ability to put Brad Richards on the fourth line, you've got some depth. And that's what they didn't have until they made the trade with Columbus.
Now, that's a cup-half-full answer right there, Glenn, because
Richards deserved to be on the fourth line.
Richards deserved to be on the fourth line. You know that as well as I do. He hasn't played well. He's slow.
You can make that argument, but I don't know many $12 million players that play on the fourth line.
No, but there's only certain coaches that would have the gall to do it.
Yeah, and but, you know, he still can be a factor in any series. And the Rangers are rolling with a lot of different good things. Broussard's playing as good as I've seen him play. Stepan's playing as good as I've seen him play. Their defense is solid. You know, they got their injured players back, the exception of Nash, who will be back soon. And it's a team that's, you know, looked at the regular season and said, that 48-game disaster is over. Now we can do what we did last year, and we were a couple wins away from going to the Stanley Cup final. They can get there this year. Nothing in the East scares me now.
My inclination was to say that they need Nash, but I don't think that they even do need Nash. I mean, you could use him
if he plays well, but he hasn't played well in this series. He didn't play well against Washington, I don't think. The key thing for me, though, is if you look at the Boston Rangers series and you look at the L.A. San Jose series, they're going to beat themselves up. And what's going to happen is Chicago's going to breeze, as you guys suggest. Pittsburgh will probably breeze, as you guys suggest. And we're going to be set up for conference finals that will deliver us Pittsburgh-Chicago in the final, and hopefully they're healthy in June.
Well, the other thing, too,
that'd be a pretty good final, though.
When you have Boston playing against the Rangers, you know, typically it's Chara and Seidenberg against the Nash line.
Yeah.
Well, the issue is you've got no Seidenberg, and the Rangers are no longer a one-trick pony.
Yeah, that's right. I agree with everything you've said, except for hello. So, goodbye.
Have a good one, boys.